Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once more to our Hollywood Theater of Stars. This is C.P. McGregor acting as your host to another great show with a great star and a great cast. Benjamin Franklin, in his Poor Richard's Almanac, stated an unequivocal truth. A penny saved is a penny earned. Such is the basis of our story today, starring Martha O'Driscoll, only with a slight twist. We'll raise the curtain on the first act of A Penny Saved in just a moment, but first, here's a word from our announcer. And now the curtain goes up, and here is the first act of A Penny Saved, starring Martha O'Driscoll. Penelope Brown has blue eyes and an amazing dimple. Her uncle, Bearcat Brown, has one of the softest seats on the stock exchange. So you would think that all Penelope had to do was to sit on a cushion and eat strawberries and cream, wouldn't you? Oh, no, not Penelope. She wants to be a career woman. And as our story opens, we find our heroine bearding Uncle Bearcat in his den.
Oh, but you've got to listen, Uncle Pete. You may as well make up your mind to it. I'm going to see that you get some returns on your investment.
What investment? What are you talking about?
Raising me in the manner to which I was unaccustomed. You know, Unc, you may not realize it, but I've turned out to be quite a luxury.
Well, I guess I can afford it.
Oh, but I can't. I mean, it isn't fair to you to make me give you a sense of importance when I want to give myself a sense of importance. Do I make myself clear?
Mm-hmm. Like mud.
Why do you think I majored in economics and finance? I mean, to go into the stock market, of course.
To go into the stock market? Very funny. But I'm not in a joking mood.
Well, neither am I. Look, I've got a definite flair for finance. After all, that's natural, isn't it? I'm Penny Brown, niece of Bearcat Brown, the shrewdest broker on the exchange.
Flattery isn't going to get you anywhere. The argument's closed. Come on now, you can drive me home anyway.
I haven't got the car, and I won't budge until we get this thing settled.
Well, you seem to have inherited the Brown stubbornness.
And the Brown head, too. Oh, while the other kids were reading Mother Goose, I was cutting my teeth on the Wall Street Journal. I haven't watched you for 15 years for nothing.
I suppose you'd like to be a customer's man.
That's it, Unc. Now you're talking. I've worked hard at college, studied world affairs and all that. Besides, I've got my feminine intuition. Please, Unc, put me in one of your offices and let me prove it.
Kitten, I am trying hard not to lose my temper. Did you ever hear of a customer's woman? A fine thing for my niece.
Well, there's got to be a first time for everything. Oh, I admit investment counsel sounds much better. So I'll give up on that point. But now, in one of your smaller offices...
No, definitely and absolutely no. You can't come near the market. And that's final.
Maybe it's final for you, Unc. But I bet one of your competitors will be glad to hire me. Maybe Mr. Wilkins.
Penny Brown, if you try any monkey shines, if you don't leave the market strictly alone now and forever, I'll cut off your allowance. And what's more, you don't come into your grandmother's money until you're 21.
That's fine. And then if I succeed without your help, maybe you'll employ me yourself, Hunk.
I'll never employ you. Never. Oh, look, Penny. Don't you want to get married and settle down? I thought you and Gordon were hitting it off pretty well.
That stuff shirt. The day I marry him, cows will fly. Now, I might even consider some poor young man, one whose fortune I can make with my financial advice.
Huh?
Say, Unc, that's the solution to my idea. Oh, if I could take some poor man off the street and make him rich and say, 6 months, will you give me a job?
No, definitely and absolutely no.
I'm glad you're open to conviction. Goodbye, Unc. I've got to get my man.
Penny Brown, now you come back here. I won't have you picking up strange men.
Oh, Unc, from an expert, that's an awfully old tip.
Taxi, miss?
No, thank you. Wait a minute. I do want a taxi.
Yes, ma'am. Where to, miss?
Just drive around. I'll tell you when to stop.
Yes, ma'am.
Driver, do you make good money driving this cab?
Oh, so-so. It could be better. Well, again, it could be worse.
Yes, I suppose so. Would you be interested in a proposition you could make $1,000 overnight?
Hey, listen, lady. Moira's out of my line. I don't know who tipped you on me, but them days is over, see? I'm going straight now. I promised Father Flaherty.
But this is perfectly legitimate.
Did some gang put you up to this? Oh, I get you now, sister. You're Butch Muggins' new ma. Well, you can just go back and tell Butch for me that he can put his proposition in his hat. And pull his hat down over his ears, see?
Oh, you. Well, I've never been so insulted in my
life. Come on, babe, out. Scram. Get going, see?
I see, all right. And you're the rudest person I ever met. And the most impractical, too. Talking yourself out of $1,000,000.
Hey, lady, look out for those apples.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, I'll help you.
No, that's all right. No damage done. Except, darn it, I've got to add these figures up all over again. Let me see. 29 and 7 is 36. 9, 36.
Here, I'll do it. 36, 45, 54. There.
Well, imagine having such workable machinery under that gorgeous red hair. I suppose you think I'm pretty dumb, but confidentially, I'm just doing this to humor a screwy uncle. He thinks that by putting apples in vending machines, I'm proving something.
Like what?
That I have a screwy uncle.
That's a coincidence. I've got one, too.
I knew we had something in common. Mine wants me to learn the chewing gum business from the underground up, so he sold me down the river to the vending company. Say, what is yours one?
Don't get me started on that. Well, goodbye. Was nice bumping into you.
Oh, a punster, too. Say, look, don't you think you might tell me your name? You know, in case I want to add something up again sometime.
Well, that's fair. My name's Penelope Brown.
Swell. And I'm Jimmy Jenkins. Name for the chewing gum king. For all the good it's doing me. Say, look. Suppose I knock off and we tear our uncles apart over a chocolate soda, huh?
Can you play hooky?
Oh, you'll be surprised how good I am at it. Well, when I was in college...
You were?
Oh, sure. I'm a college man. How do you think I got this beautiful job? Of course, I'm going to work up. From apples to peanuts to cigarettes to chewing gum. And then, happy day. When they put vending machines on penthouses, I'll be on top.
Say, maybe you're the man I'm looking for.
Oh, really? That's funny. I feel the same way about you.
No. This is a business proposition. Strictly business. If another man misunderstands me, I'm licked.
Ah, only another cad would misunderstand you. You're lovely.
Thanks. Will you behave if I have a soda with you?
Lady, you're safe with me. You know, I also work with the Traveler's Aid as a sideline. We meet all boats, planes, and subway locals.
That was good.
As Omar said, a soda for two and thou in view.
Jimmy.
And business, too. What is it? Tell me. I'm all ears.
I'm almost afraid to tell you. I didn't do so well with my other prospects.
Well, why not? If you wanted to make them rich.
How did you know?
Oh, I'm bright sometimes.
You know, I've pinned the tail on the donkey more times than anybody.
Well, you pinned it on right this time. You see, well, I'm trying to prove that to Unc that I can be a stockbroker.
Penelope, with eyes like yours, the only thing you'll break is hearts.
Oh, so you've joined the Foreign Legion.
Oh, sit down. I'll be good, cross my heart, see? Now, tell me, when can I expect to make my first million?
You mean you'll do it? You'll be my guinea pig?
Well, I may have to change the way I part my hair, but for you, honey, tell me, what do I have to do?
Just play the market according to my advice. Oh, but you'll have to give up your job.
That would be a pleasure. If I can show my uncle that I can get along without him,
I'll... You can, Jimmy. You get 10% of all the profits, if there are profits, and there will be.
Well, look, where do we get the money to start with?
Well, I have $500 in the bank, and I'll pawn my fur coat. I'll introduce you at Unc's offices, and you'll have an account in your name.
What happens if I run off with the money?
Oh, well, you've got an honest face, and I'll just have to take a chance. When I run the account up to where I want it, why, you'll just get a statement showing all transactions, and I'll bring you and the statement to Unc.
Exhibit A, huh?
Exhibit A. I'm going to rent an office to show Unc that I mean business. It'll be awfully expensive,
well,
but...
Well, say, why not come over to my boarding house to cut expenses? Mrs. Gregory is Scotch, and a finer lassie you never saw on the heather. She's got a vacant room, and it's close enough so that you'll be in a position to watch your investment.
Well, I suppose it'd be all right.
Well, if you're worrying about any interference from your junior partner in crime...
Of course not. I think it's a marvelous idea. Thanks for mentioning it.
I'm completely unselfish.
And, Jimmy, it's my future I'm investing in, so... Don't run off, will you?
Penny, my very pretty Penny, you have about as much chance of losing me as you have of losing that very kissable dimple.
Keep your mind on your work, Mr. Jenkins. This is strictly business.
Curtain falls in the first act of our play, Penny Sage, starring Martha O'Driscoll. In just a moment, we'll hear Act Two. But first, these important words from your announcer. Curtain is up, and here's Act Two of A Penny Saved, starring Martha O'Driscoll. So Penny has, as her uncle terms it, picked up a strange young man and gone into the brokerage business on her own. That the strange man is extremely personable seems not to affect our pretty career woman in the slightest. At least, not to date. She's all out to prove to Uncle Bearcat Brown that there is a place for the female of the species in the realm of high finance.
Railroads ought to be good now, Jimmy.
Okay, honey. Hello, Smiley. Jimmy Jenkins. Buy 300 shares of Great Southern at 1.25 and sell it 2. Right. Bye. Oh, look, Penny, I've been phoning Smiley all day long, and I'm tired of business. What do you say? Let's go to the Madrid and dance tonight, huh?
No, we've got reams of financial statements to study.
But gosh, darling, we've got to play once in a while.
The market is the only thing we can play just now.
But, Penny, you've doubled your money.
Not working fast enough. Now, I think this candy company looks very...
Very sweet, yes, I know. But you look sweeter, honey.
That man's here again.
Oh, Penny, if you don't let me spend some of my commissions on you, I'll do something desperate. I know. I'll ball up your next deal.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, you don't know a Jenkins when he doesn't get his way.
I'm beginning to. Jimmy, on the day your account reads 10,000, you can take me out in style. But until then, the answer's no. Definitely and positively no.
Hello? Oh, yes, Smiley. Oh, you think I handled that candy stock pretty neatly, huh? Well, thanks, Smiley. How much profit? Yeah, I thought you said 20,000. Oh, it's not tips, my boy. It's hard work. Look, Smiley, I'll let you know about the airplane stock tomorrow. Yeah, bye. Well, can you imagine that? Smiley congratulating me on my shrewdness.
Don't you mean my shrewdness? You're actually beginning to believe you did it.
Oh, of course, not all of it.
Of all the conceited overbearing. Jimmy, what's come over you in the last few months? Has good luck gone to your head?
Now, look here, I resent your calling it luck. I've worked hard for everything we've gotten.
You've worked hard? What do you think I've been doing, cutting paper dolls? Jimmy, call Smiley and tell him to make a statement of your account. The experiment's over. I think it's just about time you meet Uncle Pete.
Well, Penny, I'm honored by this visit.
Unc, you're going to have to admit defeat. Smiley says they're some of the shrewdest deals he's ever seen. And Mr. Jenkins has brought a statement showing every one of them.
Is that so? Where's the statement, Mr. Jenkins?
I'm afraid there isn't any.
What do you mean? Didn't you get it from Smiley?
There isn't any, beautiful. Because, well, I hate to disillusion you, but I've made off with your money.
What are you talking about?
See, that's my profession, preying on innocent women.
I don't understand.
At first, I didn't think you were worth it because you didn't have any jewelry on you. But after all, your peculiar, shall we call it, talent, more than compensated for the loss.
Why, you blackguard, I'll call the police.
Oh, I wouldn't do that, Mr. Brown. Not unless you want your niece's name all over the tabloids. She spent a lot of time alone with me, you know.
But I know, Penny, she wouldn't...
Of course I wouldn't. He knows very good and well that...
Of course, Mr. Brown, she'll say we were studying financial statements, but what has she got to prove it?
Young man, this is blackmail.
Not exactly. All you have to do is agree to forget about the 20,000 and your niece can put it down to experience.
Oh, this is awful. Honestly, Uncle Pete, if you knew the things he told me...
Now, never mind, kitten. Smarter women than you have fallen for scalawags.
Fall for him? Me fall for... This is awful. I can't believe it. I'm a flop, and there's nothing left for me to do but to marry that Gordon.
I hope he has a firm hand.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, Jimmy. Jimmy, we made her say uncle. I can't stand it.
What?
And let this be a lesson to you.
Then you're not a blackmailer?
Well, now, don't tell me you're disappointed. Why, Jimmy's one of the smartest boys in my Philadelphia office. That's why I brought him in to check your deal.
Check my...
Why, yes. If he thought them wise, he followed your instructions. And if he didn't... Well, he just did the opposite.
That's fine. That's swell. He didn't even give me a chance. 6 months of my time living in a horrible furnished room, working like a dog, not having any fun, just to prove that I'm a competent broker. What do I get for it? A male guardian who makes Casanova look like an amateur.
What's this? What's this? Jimmy Jenkins, that wasn't in the bargain.
Well, not at first, but...
I suppose that was something Mr. Jenkins thought would add an aesthetic touch.
Oh, Penny, wait a minute. You're not being fair.
That sounds dandy coming from you. All the unmitigated scoundrels. I suppose the apples and the chewing gum and your uncle. I suppose that was all made up, too.
No, I really have got a screwy uncle.
Now, listen, Penny, listen. You mustn't be too hard on Jimmy. He was only doing his job. I'm the guilty party.
And you brag about it. Couldn't you at least give me a fair chance?
Well, I meant well.
I hate you. Both of them. I wanted to prove something. I was honest and fair, and you...
Now, please, Penny, please. I was only afraid you'd make a lot of mistakes and lose your savings. Don't you think that I had as much right to make a case as you had? It's a hard game. And I still say this only goes to prove that women haven't any business sense.
If you had that statement, you'd see how much business sense I have.
Oh, sure, honey, sure. You had some luck. Everyone does. But lately, Jimmy's been reversing your orders with my full knowledge and support, of course.
And what is the latest order you reversed, Mr. Jenkins?
Ooh, I wish you wouldn't be so formal.
I asked you a question.
Well, I did everything you told me until this week. Mm-hmm. After that, I used a little more logic. I mean, I figured the technical condition of the market...
And instead of buying, you sold?
Just the railroad stock.
The railroad stock? The biggest chance to clean up...
Now, really, Penny, you rely too much on your woman's intuition.
I suppose this ticker is woman's intuition, too.
Why, what does it say? Let me see that thing. By Jupiter, it's rising.
Oh, it couldn't be.
Oh, no. Take a good look, Casanova.
Look, it's turning over in huge blocks. Jenkins, I told you to use your judgment, but I took it for granted you had some.
Let me see that. 21. A quarter. Half. Oh, good Lord.
You idiot, you. I thought you had some sense or I'd
never... But, sir, you agreed with me. Why, you even played it the same way yourself.
What's that got to do with it? Don't you know a good tip when you hear one? Jenkins, you're fired.
Well, Mr. Jenkins, don't take it too hard. There's one consolation. When it comes to screwy uncles, you win.
Aren't you going to eat your breakfast, honey?
I'm not hungry.
Look, Penny, I made a mistake. But there's no use crying over spilt milk. How was I to know you'd fall in love with him?
I'm not in love with him. Please don't mention that man to me ever again.
All right. And I guess that you wouldn't be interested in this letter from him?
No, I... Letter? But how do you know it's from him?
Names on the outside?
Well, I don't care in the very slightest, but...
Why, something fell out.
A check.
A check?
Yes. Dear Penny, I thought you might like to know that while your uncle wouldn't let me follow your advice with your money, I did follow it with my commission, just to prove I had faith in you.
Why, that young puppy, I...
So I am able to make up for the loss I caused you. Oh, Uncle, look at this.
Well, stop shaking and let me see it. P.S. I've taken the chewing gum job. Subway hours from 9 to 10. I have $1,000 in the bank that you can invest for me. Penny, you said something about wanting a poor man. But before you decide... There's a place for you in my office if you want it.
Oh, you're wonderful. Goodbye, darling.
Hey, where are you going?
To the subway. I'll never find a better client.
Let me see. 34 and 6 are 40. 43 and 7 are...
You can't say 7 are. It isn't proper. Here, let me add that.
Oh, Penny. Penny. Oh, darling. Oh, how nicely you fit in my office. Am I forgiving?
Not so fast, Mr. Jenkins. There are several things to be considered. Please, let me go. Everybody in the world is looking.
Oh, let them look. Let them look. Maybe they'll get a kick out of this, too.
Oh, Jimmy. Mr. Jenkins, before we go any further, I'm afraid I must insist on a statement.
Oh, Penny, honey, how can you talk business at a time like this? Oh, darling, I love you.
That's the statement I meant.
Oh, Penny, I'm such a dope. Oh, you're wonderful to forgive me.
Wasn't your fault. Of course, you realize I'm marrying you for your money.
Oh, absolutely. And if you don't run it into a fortune fast, I'll have to take that job in the advertising department.
Apples, peanuts, chewing gum? What advertising department?
My uncle's. You know, that old duck isn't so screwy after all. He said he'd transfer me as soon as I had a wife.
Darling, tell him you got one at par, and she's with you 100%.
And so the curtain rings down on the final act of our play, A Penny Saved, starring Martha O'Driscoll. In just a moment, I'll return to the stage with our star. But first, these words from your announcer. Martha, you are the living proof of what so many spend so much time trying to disprove, that beauty and brains are not such a rarity, particularly in your case. They're really wonderful.
Thank you, C.P. I don't know when I've enjoyed a role so much.
And I don't know when I've enjoyed a performance so much. Right now, if you'll notice, I'm scribbling in my little black book with underscores, Martha O'Driscoll, a must, but soon.
If that's Scotch Blarney, I love it, C.P.
Martha, there's no such thing as Scotch Blarney. You've got your Irish mixed up with the heather. But be that as it may, it was grand having you here. And we look forward to seeing you again soon. And now for next week, ladies and gentlemen, our star will be that lovely lady of the screen, Marjorie Rambeau, to star in a delightful story of easy come, easy go, titled Lady Luck. It'll be lots of fun with an extra special modicum of excitement, so don't miss it. Until then, this is C.P. McGregor saying thanks for listening, and cheerio from Hollywood.